Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and wellness is going to be a strong theme this month of April, and I have the pleasure of having Dr. Kennedy with us today. He's written about the 15-minute heart cure. This is something that for so many people, it's a big issue. I have had a number of members of my family that have had heart issues through the years. And one of the biggest factors to inducing challenges heart-wise is a five-letter word. Starts with an S, and I know you'll recognize it. It's called stress. Dr. Kennedy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. It's great to be here.
Now, you're the medical director of preventive cardiology and wellness at Marina Del Rey Hospital. That's in California. And you're on the board of directors for the American Heart Association, and you speak frequently on the subject that is in your professional expertise. However, you are taking an approach that I think is very refreshing, and it's one that I know many of my listeners will be pleased to hear about. You really believe in the mind-body-emotion connection. And your book, The 15-Minute Heart Cure, you're trying to introduce what you've used in your practice to the layperson, saying there's a natural way to be able to deal with stress, and all you have to do is use a few minutes a day. Doctor, how did you decide this particular positioning was significant? What was it that in your life, on a personal level and on a professional level, that demonstrated this value and understanding that you've put into this book?
Well, that's a great question. Well, first, it was my early experiences in medical school. And in medical school, I remember very vividly, I'm actually going back to Dartmouth next week, actually, to teach medical students about a lot that I cover in the book. And to use the breathe technique, and also how to teach their patients to use the breathe technique. But early on in medical school, I had a very compelling experience where I was at the bedside of a patient. I was with all of my teachers at the time, my residents and my attending, and we were in this big, you know, formal queue where it was sort of like a mother duckling and all of her ducklings, a mother duck and all her ducklings behind them. And we came to this bedside of a patient that was very sick, very high blood pressure, very fast pulse, and was sweating, looked very sick. And this, again, was early on in my career in medical school, and it was before I knew how to use a stethoscope. And my teacher took a very thorough physical exam and history, and we left the bedside. We looked at all the labs and came back to the bedside, and my teacher said that this patient could go home. And I was shocked. I was like, wow, they looked so sick, and they sent the patient home. And when we were walking away from the patient, one of the interns, you know, kind of rubbed my shoulder and said, oh, what she has is supratentorial. And I thought, wow, what's supratentorial? This was pre-Google. So I ran home and I looked up in my medical textbook, and it said supratentorial, it's all in your head. So I thought, wow, this person looked so sick, and they were, you know, dismissing this like it was nothing. I sent her home, and 2 weeks later, the same patient returned to the emergency room. Same symptoms, same vital signs, a high blood pressure, high pulse, was sweaty. The same teacher and the same, you know, long winding queue of medical personnel. We took the same history and we came back to the bedside. And this time my teacher, my attending said, you know, Mrs. Jones, we've evaluated all of your labs and heard your story. You've had a heart attack and we're admitting you to the hospital. So I thought, wow, you know, this all in your head stuff, there must be something to this. And I thought how interesting that we were so quick to dismiss these symptoms that were stress-related just a couple weeks prior. And 2 weeks later, we said, wow, you've had a heart attack. And so I've been very interested in this link between emotional stress and heart disease. And now there are literally thousands of citations and medical articles proving this link between stress and heart disease. And I've personally seen thousands of examples of how stress has affected our delicate cardiovascular tissue. And I talk a lot about in the 15-minute heart care. I talk about attorneys on the day of their court trial, teachers on back-to-school night, and, you know, plumbers dealing with angry clients who all develop cardiovascular problems related to emotional stress.
You bring out some points of information that I'm really intrigued with. And one of those points, and it's right at the very beginning of your book, you say 90% of 12-year-old children in the U.S. show some signs of atherosclerosis. And
that
also, two-thirds of heart attacks occur in people who have no known history of heart disease. And I looked at that and I thought, how in the world can you get statistics on 12-year-olds regarding atherosclerosis? How do you prove that?
Well, unfortunately, that data comes from autopsy data from young casualties of war and also casualties of motor vehicle accidents, because that's the number one cause of death of young people in the United States is motor vehicle accidents. And we have examined the inner lining of what's called the aorta, which is this huge, you know, garden hose-sized tube that exits the heart. Your heart's in your chest, and it exits the heart, and it gives rise to all the blood flow to all of our body. And down in the abdomen, down in our belly, we take samples of the inner lining of that aorta, and in 90% of kids that are 12, we find the beginnings of atherosclerosis, it's called, which is the disease that causes heart attacks. And that's important because it tells us that heart disease starts very, very early. It has a very long asymptomatic lag time, and most men in the United States present in their 50s and most women in their 60s. But what also is very fascinating to me is that in 65% of men and in about 50% of women, their first time ever presenting with heart disease is with either a heart attack or sudden death. So this disease is elusive. It starts very early, and I think it's incredibly important do things that we can do, everything that we can to prevent it, and dealing and with stress effectively, learning ways to cope with stress effectively is one of those ways that we can prevent disease.
Now, you talk about various triggers. You've already mentioned a few. You say repressing your feelings, panicking, experience an earthquake, worrying, being unhappy, especially during holidays. Interestingly enough, a diehard sports fan, feeling terrorized. I'd also toss anger in there. I myself have been aware of members in the family, the suppressed feelings, I guess, anger could come as a subcategory under that. I have known people, and I've seen this in my own family, where they are so angry that when it reached a point, and you could not mentally reach them, because this was a patterning, an emotional patterning they had. And then when it hit, it was a doozy. I mean, they had external circumstances that were there, and they'd say, well, I had food poisoning or I had this, that, or the other. But the reality was is that it was going to happen because of their emotional state. And as a doctor, how many times have you seen that?
Well, I've seen it many, many times. And I talk, when I give talks to medical students and in corporate America, I often talk about one story of a man who had a road rage problem. And one day when he was angry about someone, you know, that he felt cut him off on the road, he raced after this person. They finally pulled over and were going to, I guess, have a physical altercation. They were going to fight. And when he got out of his car, he had crushing chest pain. The other person that was in the altercation that had pulled over, I guess, to fight with this patient of mine, ran out and did CPR on this man and ended up saving his life, which was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea of hostility and anger, there's a lot of literature that dates back into the 50s. And what's interesting about anger and hostility, although it's not completely gender-specific, men that have anger and hostility problems or explosive intermittent explosive disorder, which is what we see with road. road rage. Emotionally charged events that cause anger and hostility are directly linked to heart disease and are more common in men than women. Women, however, are more susceptible as a whole to depression and anxiety, and that has also been linked to heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
What's common about anger, hostility, anxiety, depression is that it's a form of emotional stress. It's how our body responds to that trigger of stress, whether it's, you know, we're worried about paying our bills, or we're dealing with a dysfunctional relationship, or we're stuck in traffic, or we're having a road rage experience. All of those experiences trigger the fight or flight response, which release these stress hormones that can literally wreak havoc on our heart.
Yes, and those are adrenaline and cortisol.
And cortisol. That's
cortisol.
Correct.
Very, very interesting. The body is a fascinating, I call it a living machine. I mean, I'm absolutely in awe of it because there are so many things. Everything is interconnected. I mean, the base cellular level is dramatically affected. And you talk about using relaxation prior to surgery. People that use guided imagery for cardiac surgery had faster recovery. Decreased length of hospital stay. I know this is literally for any kind of surgery. It's where you put your mind. And you have in your book guided imagery here. Now, with yourself, now you observed patients, but was there anything on a personal level with you that really pushed your buttons, that made you feel a harmony? It's one thing to intellectualize. It's a
yep.
another thing to actualize.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, I appreciate you asking this. My brother and I have played sports our whole lives. And, you know, I was a competitive athlete in high school and college. And I played football, basketball, baseball. My brother was an incredible athlete. He was a Division I All-American baseball player. And I think some of the best examples of people that deal with stress and pressure consistently and perform with precision are professional athletes and Olympic athletes. And I've learned that, you know, in ways to deal with pressure, and if you look at the best sports psychologists, they use similar techniques. They say, look, when we get triggered, when we get stressed, when we're under pressure, we can easily spiral out of control, you know, and we can, and that can affect our performance. But we can also harness that feeling. We can get in touch with what do we feel when we get stressed. We feel a knot in our stomach. We feel our heart racing. We feel a dry mouth. We feel, you know, tremulous or jittery. Those are cues. Those are bodily cues that we have control over, and that we can actually stop stress in its tracks. We can actually lower our heart rate in that situation. We can lower our blood pressure, and we can execute with precision. And so I took a lot of the data from sports psychology and what I learned really early on in my sports experiences, and I used that in this whole technique. And those two proven forms of relaxation therapy are guided imagery and breath work. They're the exact same skills that the biathletes used in the recent Winter Olympics. And you can imagine, you know, literally being exhausted after cross-country skiing up a hill, and then coming to a target and being able to control your body so much that you can lower your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, not shake, and hit these targets with precision.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the exact same thing. They're visualizing their target first, they're lowering their blood pressure and heart rate, and they're executing with precision. And everyone has the ability to do that, and it's combining these two skills. And one thing I'll say, just to backtrack for a minute, because you mentioned that the body is this incredible machine, is, you know, our body is able to control itself and always has this incredible ability to have harmony and balance. And so whatever causes stress, those triggers, our body has the ability to create the equal and opposite physiology. So when we get stressed, our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up, our blood becomes thick and sticky, and we have an increase in inflammation, all of which increase the risk of a cardiac event. When we learn to relax, it's the exact opposite. Our heart rate is lower, our blood pressure is lower, inflammation is decreased, and our blood is no longer thick and sticky. So as you are able to learn how to relax, how to elicit the opposite of the stress response, which is called the relaxation response, we can actually protect our heart.
Well, I think that's invaluable because it is so easy. And I think all of us have habit patterns. And when we can be mindfully present to remember that one small thing, and that is to breathe, not hold our breath, but to breathe, and to say, this is, I'm going to take charge right now of where I am and who I am. That is a monumental step forward because it really allows you to think more clearly. And that, like you said, does lower the stress. You have a case in your book that was just mind-boggling when I read it. And it was about a woman that you called Amy Myers. And I'd love for you to share that story with my audience because that just blew me away, the relationship between peanuts, air flight, and, you know, just, I'm telling you, I read that and I went,
I'm sorry for laughing, but I had a lot of fun writing the book, and I would try to come up with, you know, clever little titles, sort of like, you know, headlines for newspaper articles, and I think I wrote Lethal Cocktail, isn't, or something like that, with salt, alcohol, and stress. Which is really the lethal cocktail for heart disease. And Amy was a successful television producer and was flying and living sort of the typical American life where she was cruising through life at breakneck speed. Her career was booming and she was, you know, flying around the world to deal with her career. And she was flying from New York to Los Angeles for a big meeting that was dealing with her upcoming pilot. And en route to California, she had consumed a number of cocktails and also had eaten lots of peanuts. And when she got to Los Angeles, she was running late. And she got stuck in traffic, which we do commonly here in Los Angeles. She got stuck in traffic, she got very stressed. She had to, you know, do a conference call into the meeting and say how she was late, and she got very, very stressed and was worried and kept worrying. And she ended up, you know, she was frenzied, and she ended up developing congestive heart failure. And those things really are bad for your heart. Alcohol, in moderation is okay, but consuming in large amounts is not good for our heart. It's toxic to the heart muscle. And she had happened. She also had consumed a bunch of peanuts, which is a huge salt load, which can make your heart retain more fluid. Now she had had a pre-existing heart condition, and that combination of stress, which triggered the stress hormones, and tickled or irritated the abnormal heart muscle. And this fluid overload from the salt and alcohol was this lethal, unfortunately, this lethal combination for this person who ended up dying from what's called sudden cardiac death, which about 400,000 people a year die from in the United States.
Yes, I love the description of the bulging eyes, frothing mouth. She was having a fit with her chauffeur, and I looked at Med, was reading that, and I'm going, oh, my God, the guy at least had the presence to call 911. He knew something was wrong with her, but she died on the spot, and she was only 42. These are things that in our modern world, we have a lot of tools that assist us, but as individuals, we really do have to have an accountability. And as I said, there have been members in my family that have gone through heart situations, and I think of one man that had it over 20 years ago, and it was definitely brought on by stress, being extremely overweight, not resting, not taking care of the self, feeling like you're supposed to go without sleep and be the 24-hour-a-day, 7-24, you know, that, oh, wow, I can do it. It's all this macho garbage. And this person ended up getting really slam dunk. And fortunately, they haven't had a recurrence for over 20 years, but they're still very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. And this individual is having to really pay attention, and they're doing better than they did over 20 years ago, which is a good thing. But they still are vulnerable. And you talk about the soft plaque in the blood vessels and inflammation. Now, this is something that is very important because it's the inflammation that causes the buildup of plaque in the arteries. Am I correct?
That's correct. Well, the inflammation, we think, is linked to the actual rupture of the plaque, which is where the artery actually tears.
And okay.
Just a neat way to think of this is, or what I tell my patients, which I think makes a lot of sense, is that, you know, I mentioned it earlier, 65% of men and 50% of women, their first time presenting ever is with a heart attack. That means that the artery tears, and then it actually clots itself off. And when it clots itself off, our body thinks it's repairing itself. Like when we cut ourselves, we form a scab, and our blood becomes thick, and it heals itself. The same thing is going on within the blood vessel. And the blood vessel is this very delicate tube. There's three of them that feed our heart muscle, and it has three linings. The inner lining is called the intima, the middle lining, the media, and the outer lining called the adventitia. And most of the disease occurs in the media and the intima, the two inner linings. And what happens over time is, again, remember, it starts at age 12. And over this 50-year period, we're packing away cholesterol into the blood vessel wall. And imagine it becomes like, and I use this metaphor a lot, it's like particle board. Particle board is a very cheap quality wood where there's a lot of different densities, and it would be very easy to break. That's what happens to our arteries. It becomes riddled and marbled with fat, and it becomes very vulnerable to tear. And so things like stressful life events can precipitate a cardiac event because the blood vessel tears. What makes it more vulnerable is inflammation. It's called the shoulder of the plaque, which means the plaque is composed of fibrous tissue, which is like a scar tissue, and then the inner core is of cholesterol, and just the sides of it where the shoulders are, where the fibrous tissue meets the smooth muscle, is where it's most vulnerable, and that's where inflammation occurs. So if you can imagine all this, you know, this heterogeneous or a bunch of different densities of stuff going on, and inflammation. And inflammation is where there's lots of enzymes which eat things away. All of this makes it vulnerable to tear, this very delicate tissue to tear. And stress, where our blood pressure goes up, our heart rate goes up, the shear force inside the artery increases, and those vulnerable spots inside the artery are very vulnerable to tear. That's why with stress, when you have a sudden, I call it a flash flood-like thing, where you know, you're stuck in traffic or you get in a fight with someone, a verbal argument, that causes the release of these hormones, and that big surge in hormones can cause changes in the pressure inside the artery and make those vulnerable spots where it's like particle board to tear. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's...
So it's sort of a perfect storm of events. The inflammation, this marbled fatty blood vessel, and the stress all create this perfect storm for a cardiac event.
Now, you also talk about coronary bypass surgery, and it was one of the most commonly performed major operations in the world.
That's right.
500,000 operations were performed in the United States, and you know, that is just an awesome number. Now, you have throughout your book, you have some meditation procedures. You have one called the Fallen Tree. And I just think that each of these, you set these up for specific purposes, but actually you could use any of them if you wanted.
Yeah, what I tried to do, and this is the heart of the book, which is sort of a kind of a funny thing I tried to do, but the middle of the book is about the heart, and there are four different exercises, and each exercise represents a different part of the heart. There's the heart muscle. There's the arteries, there are the valves, and there is the electrical system. And each one of those heart parts can be damaged with a stressful life event. So I tell a story, I talk about a stressful life event that precipitates a problem with one of those heart parts. Then I take you through what a cardiologist would do when someone comes in and presents with a stressful life event, a heart attack, for example. And then I give you a tool that's related to that heart part, which is a breathe exercise, which will help you protect your heart.
Well, there's just so much good information in your book, and I would love for you to give an example of how, and this is, you called it cooling your jets in your book.
Right.
And
I
thought that this story was an excellent description of how, when you do the shift, and you breathe,
right,
it can
right.
make a difference. Share that story with my audience, please.
Sure. And also, if I could, I'll share that story. And I'll also relate, you asked me earlier, you know, how I use it. And this is a great place to show you how I use the technique in my life as a cardiovascular doctor. Is Cooling Your Jets is a story about a pilot who is flying at 35,000 feet, and all of a sudden he loses power in an engine, and then loses power in another engine. And this predates the Sully pilot who subsequently landed successfully on the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very relevant to that story as well. And so imagine being at 35,000 feet. You literally are out in the middle of nowhere, and you have no power. And what's fascinating about that to me as a pilot is, or not me as a pilot, but thinking what this pilot was thinking, is that when you lose power, you have to point your plane towards the ground in order to maintain speed.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can create what's called lift over the wing. Because otherwise, if you don't point down, you lose that lift and you lose control of your airplane. You cannot fly it at all. You can't steer it. You can't fly it. So he pointed it towards the ground, and he starts to rapidly plummet. And now he's telling his pilot, or he's telling his crew and all the people in the plane that we've lost power and we're getting ready for a water landing. Unfortunately, there's never been a successful water landing in a plane this size. And so he recalls something in his childhood about flying. He used to fly these planes over southern France, these planes that did these big swooping turns, and how he would cut the power off and then fall, like sort of a free fall, and then the power would go back on. He imagined what it was like when he was a child flying airplanes. It was a beautiful experience when actually he's plumbing toward Earth in this plane. And so instead of what I call the fight, flight, freeze, which is the stress response, he turned the switch in his brain to what I call listen, focus, breathe. He imagined a pleasurable experience, and he used that to literally breathe, concentrate, and execute something that had never been done before. He ended up landing this plane. He ended up getting a call from a small Portuguese airstrip that no one knew was there. He didn't know it was there. And he ended up landing. He flew this plane like a glider and landed it. It literally slid across the runway for about a mile. And there were no casualties. 300 passengers, no casualties. And he was able to, instead of spiral out of control and be stressed, he was able to use a memory that was pleasurable and really calming, and he was able to do something that had never been done before. And he used all his skills and all of his techniques that he had learned over the years to calm himself, to breathe, and to land that plane perfectly without a casualty.
Now, Doctor, before we leave, and by the way, my listeners will know that your website is The 15-Minute Heart Cure, and 15 is the number, the number is 1-5, The 15-Minute Heart Cure. For someone today, if they wanted to take a preventative positioning, are there certain blood tests that they could take, or is there an examination? Because I'm a strong believer in prevention. And sometimes
Absolutely.
There's a genetic pattern with families. Sometimes someone may say, you know, I can't explain it, but I really feel like maybe I should go and have a test. Well, what would you say to a patient? Now, you're a cardiologist. You're not a family practitioner. If someone mm-hmm. were going into their doctor and they said, you know, I'd really like to take a preventative positioning, what kind of test could I take to see mm-hmm. if I have a problem and it needs to be paid attention to? What would you recommend?
Right. So there's five numbers, and real quickly, if you look at my website, johnmkennedymd.com, in addition, I have a number of articles that you'll find that talk about preventive cardiology, and there's one article in particular called Five Numbers That Could Save Your Life. Please look that up because it'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. But in terms of technology and tests, the test that you could get today is called a cardiac CT scan, and it's a coronary calcium scan. And that tells you, remember we talked about how this heart disease starts very early, 12-year-old kids, the beginning of disease.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you if you have coronary atherosclerosis, this process going on in your coronary arteries, and you could be asymptomatic. That's important because that helps us with being very aggressive with you, controlling blood pressure, controlling your cholesterol levels, checking your blood sugar, making sure your blood sugar is in check. All of those things we would be much more aggressive with if we knew you had calcification in your coronary artery. It's a simple test, and most cardiologists know how to do it. Another thing you can do is a C-reactive protein, which has also been helpful. But I would say the best test in terms of a screening-type test to help you know whether you need to be aggressive with your cholesterol, for example, is a coronary calcium scan. And then the last thing I would like to say is that you really, in terms of prevention, you really need to know about three things: diet, exercise, and stress reduction. I think stress reduction is the most important of all, because when we're stressed and we ignore it, we tend to eat poorly, we eat comfort foods, we gain weight, we tend to exercise less, and we tend to mask the signs of stress with drinking and smoking, all of which create the perfect storm for heart disease. So learn to manage stress, learn what your triggers are, learn effective ways to cope with stress like the Breathe technique and the 15-minute heart cure, and then diet and exercise will fall into place.
I think that we've covered some absolutely wonderful information, Dr. Kennedy. Again, he has his own website, Dr. John, it's johnmkennedy.com.
MD.com.
And MD.com, excuse me, johnmkennedymd.com. Also, you can go to the 15minutehartcure.com. Dr. Kennedy, thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule. I so appreciate the book that you've written, and also the wonderful information that you've been able to share with my audience today. Thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna. It has been an absolute pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're coming back in just a moment with some more good things to share with you. Don't forget, the 15-minute heart cure, get it. If you have a loved one that is stubborn and obstinate, this is a good book. If nothing else, read it out loud to them. We'll be right back after these messages.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello and welcome. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday weekend. And telephone lines right now are open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, try 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And by the way, we did find that our computer system worked for a while. Don't ask me where the gnomes are coming from. I haven't a clue. But I think we got everything up on BBS for the guests that are going to be coming up. So if you want to stay in touch with what's happening, all you need to do is go to the BBS website, as you always do to listen to the show, and tap into the section that will give you the guest listing, and you'll find out who's coming up this month. Which, by the way, we've got a dynamic week here. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Lynn Katai. This is a woman who years ago actually filmed UFOs in Arizona. And her documentation was so clear that, and she saw these things more than once, and she said, I was afraid to come forward. Well, now, and she's a respected individual, very much a professional woman, and she did not want to get slam dunked by people. Well, now she's going all over the country and talking about the Phoenix Lights. So I know you're going to be interested in that. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Bob Brill, Fan Letters to a Stripper. Now, you may say, Donna, you're talking about a stripper? Let me tell you, this book is absolutely fabulous. It's going to take us back into a period of World War II, burlesque and entertainment, but I'm telling you, this book was done with a lot of love by a man who is a media person, and it is just absolutely wonderful. And then Kimmerer Lamothe is going to be talking on Thursday, What a Body Knows. You know, we were talking about heart problems today. We really need to give our bodies the honor and respect that they deserve. They're absolutely amazing. And I'm just, like I was telling the doctor during the interview, I am in awe of the human body, the way that it operates and how things develop. And it's just fascinating to me. Every cell is a universe unto itself. Well, Kimmerer is going to give us a different perspective about how you can honor yourself and honor your body. And then Steve Riles is Drunk with Wonder. Now, the title, well, I think you're going to have to listen to the show because there is so much about life to be appreciated. And to me, the title is sort of a little bit unique in that it gives a description mentally that someone would say, who'd want to use the word drunk? Well, have you ever met anybody that was so filled with joy that they appeared to be a little tipsy? I have. And then you realize that they are just experiencing something very, very special. And that's what this book is all about. So I invite you to join me this week. It's really going to be very special. And, of course, next week I'm going to be taking the Silver Bird to the far north. Yes, Alaska, one of my favorite places on this planet. And for those of you in Alaska, if you want to meet with me while I'm in Fairbanks and Anchorage, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852, because I am meeting with people on an individual basis. I have a wonderful, wonderful poem here, very short, sweet, to the point, but it is with a photograph that reminds me of Mount Rainier in a sunset. Set of brilliant pink hues, magentas, and golds, and also all of these wildflowers. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest, Mount Rainier won't have her wildflowers for a few months because we're loaded with snow this year, for which we are very grateful because it gives us good water table. But, oh, the wildflowers on Mount Rainier are breathtakingly gorgeous, and usually during the month of July, that's when it's warm enough up there, the snowpack has pretty much disappeared, and you're able to see this miraculous array of color and these delicate flowers that are just absolutely wonderful to see. And here is a photograph that is showing some of this. I don't know where it is, but again, it reminds me of Rainier. Pink clouds dot the horizon as blossom by blossom the day unfolds its petals of light and wonder. What a wonderful poem. And the photograph that goes with it is absolutely magnificently descriptive. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat with me. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. Where do you think the largest radio telescope in the world is located? The United States, the United Kingdom, Hawaii, Philippines, Africa? Where do you think it's located? Well, I didn't have a clue until I read an article that it was located in Puerto Rico. It is the largest, most sensitive radio telescope in the world, and for more than 40 years, the Arecibo Observatory has measured the motions of galaxies. Yes, measuring the motions of galaxies. It also has been able to map the surface of Venus. It has studied the physics of pulsars, and they have been listening for signs from other civilizations from outer space for those 40 years. Now, I've got a picture of this in front of me, and it's absolutely amazing to look at. I think they use something similar in one of the James Bond movies with Pierce Brosnan. Now, that picture just popped into my head. This dish is 1,000 feet wide, and it is resting in a natural sinkhole. Can you imagine what it would have been like to build this thing over a sinkhole of that dimension? It consists of 40,000 aluminum panels. They form a radio reflective surface. And what happens with all of these panels is that they gather radio waves from the sky, and then they focus them into and onto a feed antenna. Now, this amplifies the signals, and that in turn enables them to go into a control room where all of the data that they get, they then analyze it. Now, if you can in your mind, get the picture of the antenna. It hangs from a 900-ton platform. It's suspended 450 feet above the dish with 18 cables connected to three concrete towers. I mean, this is just a phenomenal accomplishment of engineering. And they have 26 electric motors that aim the telescope and enable those people in the control room to adjust its focus. Now, they also detect and track objects with this phenomenal piece of equipment that come close to the Earth. And they have been watching an asteroid called Apophis, which they say is going to narrowly miss our planet in April of 2036. Now, there is a new trajectory, however, that they have announced that there's a probability of impact that year is very low, about 1 in 250,000 chances. But this is just absolutely amazing, and they're upgrading the technology of this. They've got a new receiver that provides access to the 100 megahertz wide frequency band, and they are really, really working with this. It is phenomenal, the steps that we've been able to take with technology. Now, this is something that's been around for 40 years, and they're upgrading it to what we've got today. It is really something. So, if ever you want to look up this image on the web, I just think it would be just mind-boggling. Again, I'm wondering if this is something that they used in or the reasonable facsimile in a James Bond movie. If you know about that, let me know, because I would just love to find out about it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, inasmuch as we had a doctor on today, we were talking about how we need to take care of ourselves and be aware of ourselves physiologically, and that there apparently is quite a patterning for many people to develop heart problems as they get older. Well, we've got a lot of new words that are coming out. Of course, this is not unusual. Every generation has new words that are being developed. But because of technology and what we have been able to discover, new words are being added to the vocabulary on a regular basis. Do you know they now are able to do brain scans and have computer-generated reconstruction showing where implanted electrodes were used in the study of language processing? We're able to really get in and watch how things work. Well, we've got to take a break here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. And, oh, I know you might be stuffed after Easter, but I might have a recipe that I can share with you today and some other good points of information as well. So we'll be right back after this. Give me a call if you'd like to chat.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Hi, and welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Joanne, and I'm calling from Alberta, Canada.
Oh, hi, Joanne. How's the weather up in Alberta?
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. Spring, geese, birds.
Isn't it tremendous?
Wonderful.
I just love it. I love this time of the year. I love all of the flowers. We've got rhododendrons that are coming out. They started coming out about a week ago. Daffodils
nice. All
over the place. And it's the tulips are beginning to come out here. So are your flowers starting to come out now?
No, not yet.
Oh, fiddle. Oh, well, they will soon enough. There's nothing more invigorating than walking down a street after a real cold winter and seeing this one lone flower that's had the courage to come up before any of the others. It blooms its little heart out. And you go,
I agree. And it's very uplifting, right? And it just gives you a boost again.
It does. It's the colors. They're just beautiful. They just radiate.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. Yeah. All right, Joanne, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I'm looking at are two words, hard work. And that's not new to your life or to your environment. That's not a negative with you. But I think you're tired. I'm looking at you saying, I feel like if I could unscrew my head and put on a replacement and send the other one to a rest factory. I just love that. My head is so tired. And I'd like you to do something for yourself. I'd like you to maybe not watch television unless it's like a Disney cartoon or something totally frivolous and ridiculous. I'd like you to just leave news alone and just take a brain break. Listen to beautiful music, go out dancing, doing the cha-cha, the mambo, something that's going to get you to laughing and something that is going to make you just forget the mental stuff. You need to have some kind of a brain break. Because if you don't have that periodically, you're going to just feel so exhausted that you could go to bed and get 10 hours sleep and you'd still wake up and you go, oh, I can't believe it. I think I need to go back to bed. And it's not because of the season of the year. I just think you have had a lot on your plate mentally and emotionally, and it's almost as if a tsunami has come in over you during this last year. So I really want to encourage you to make a point, put a little sign up, maybe set an alarm if you have one you can set, and say time for brain break. And if it means just going out and walking in a mall, if the weather's bad, whatever it takes, you need to shift. Because if you don't, you're never going to feel that energy. And I'm getting the weariness from the neck up. It's like the body's okay. It's from the neck up. And I'd strongly encourage you, if before you go to sleep at night, you do some meditation, listening to some absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous music. No doom and gloom. You want to make sure it is just absolutely wonderfully heartwarming music that you love. And that really should be your white noise that you utilize before you go to sleep. And then before you go to sleep, just say, this is just going to be such a good night. I am going to rest well. And whatever concerns I have, I can put them to the side because they're going to be resolved easily and efficiently and well. There is a discipline you need to incorporate here because I have to tell you, and don't let this stress you out because it doesn't need to. You are always going to have responsibilities around you. This is part of who you are. And to be able to learn how to let go is going to be a real ace for you, a real, real ace. And it will enable you to get through what I feel are going to be very intense, intense 6 months ahead of you. Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, well, you know, just to let you know what I was doing, I am tired, and I was thinking, should I phone in and go for a snooze? I'm getting all my tax papers together, and that is so stressful, and it's like, I do not enjoy doing it.
All right, let me make a shift here for you. Let's see if we can help you with this. Because you need to know, number one, your records are in order. And number two, you need to find a way of keeping your records. If you have to hire a bookkeeper to do the record keeping for you, hire a bookkeeper. You need to look at why it is this is agitating you. And I don't feel like you have to be super psychiatrist to figure this one out. You need to just realize it's okay. Every year you're going to have to go through this. So why are you going to create an agitation that's going to make you, you know, just not being able to rest? And you've gone through enough other things in this past year. This is just something to say, okay, it's dealing with numbers. It's dealing with documents. I'm going to be able to handle this in a timely way. I don't like doing it. Okay, I don't like doing it. So how can I be more efficient with this? What can I do that can help me in the year 2011 to do this better?
Right, right. That's why I'm looking at hiring a monthly bookkeeper, that I don't got to look at this no more, because it is, it's stressful. And I'm not good with numbers, so that's probably why it stresses me out. And you know,
well, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. But remember something, dear. You still need to look at it. And one of the agreements that I would make with your bookkeeper, when you go in, say to them, have that meeting once a month with them after they did everything done. Say, I want you to tell me about what I need to know about. Is there anything on my bank statement? You still need to review your bank statement. You still need to look at your credit card bills to make sure that nobody's put something on there they shouldn't.
Right, for sure, for sure.
Believe me, because that has happened to me. So I don't want
that
to happen to you. Yeah, don't worry about it. What you do is have to be attentive. That's all. That's
all. I agree.
But she can do all of the entry and also double check, you know, on your checking accounts, your savings accounts. Say, I want to be informed. But whatever you do, don't just say, well, just take care of it for me. You need to be sure that you've got a bookkeeper that's really good at detail and will be happy to go through everything with you.
Yeah, that's very good. That is very good. I'll tell you my question fast because I know your time's flying by. I don't even know if you have enough time. I have an opportunity to go and do, I also do readings, to go to an expo over the weekend, and I've decided I would do it. How do you feel that would go, Donna?
I think it's going to be a so-so turnout. I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but I'll tell you what, if you go in and just say, I am here to be able to give my best gifts to the people that are here, and those that are here to see me will see me, and I'm going to have a good time.
Right.
Because it's exposure, dear, and you're right. I am out of time right now.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna.
You are welcome, dear.
Thank
you, dear.
Love,
you
love.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, dear. Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, where does the time go? It goes by so fast. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Be true to yourself. Take care of yourself, because we want you here tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. We really care about you. and we enjoy having you as our listening audience here on the Donna Sebo Show. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.